Blog Talk Radio.
We're your friends.
Your friends.
We're your neighbors.
We're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand.
Lending hand.
And our favor.
We're
your friends.
Your friends.
We're your neighbors.
We're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand.
Lending hand.
And our favor.
You know, it seems like.
Greetings, and welcome again to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabbat, the reality of the Creator. Thank you, our beautiful listening audience, for joining us this morning as we bring to you another great discussion, interesting discussion, and a discussion that brings information to you that will be life-saving for you. Imam Shahid Shabazz is our host today, and you are listening to the reality of the Creator, Imam Shahid Shabazz. As you join us, also invite others to join us, and let us hear from you and comment. We need your feedback, and we thank you for joining us. Today's discussion is all revelation from Allah is one and eternal. All revelation from Allah is one and eternal. This is why the Holy Quran confirms the revelation of Moses and the revelations of Jesus. The Holy Quran is a guide from Allah and appeals to reason and understanding. Unless you understand the Quran in reverence of Allah rightly and with fear of wrong, unswayed from the remembrance, unswayed from the remembrance of Allah, for by this we reject faith in Allah, and we are always, always seeking the good pleasure of Allah through firmness and faith in Allah. Having patience in the service of Allah, discipline in the cause of Allah, constantly reminding other people of Allah by giving charity to help others in need. And lastly, but not least, always offering the light of Allah's truth in the Quran, which we have ourselves received. This is the purpose of the mission of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad Abdullah, peace be upon him, to reach the mind, heart, and souls of humanity and bring them out of spiritual darkness back into a spiritual light and understanding. As you can see, another beautiful discussion we have with you today, this Sunday morning. And we pray that you will join us in the discussion, give us some feedback. But you're always welcome to just sit, relax, and listen. And we're glad to have you. I see our board is full this morning, so I won't delay you this longer. I will bring on Imam Shahid Shabazz. Walaikum as-salam. Yes. Things are a little slow this morning, but I do have you on. And you are
okay.
You're now on the air. Imam Shahid Shabazz.
Okay. First of all, we give all praises to Allah, the creator, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds. It's a prayer we say. As Mukminun, believers in Allah, every morning he put life back into this dead body. And that prayer is all praises due to Allah, who have brought us back to life after he have imposed upon us a state next to death. Truly unto Allah is the final resurrection. Now we'll start with the Fatiha, the opening chapter of the Quran. And I want you to remember The man from Atlanta spoke on prayer being so important in one's soul salvation, which is a fact. And I want you to remember that everything in the creation that you see praises Allah all the time without stopping. And Allah created man and woman to be the highest of his creation. So most people, Allah say, don't even give him thanks or praise at all. And we as people were created to be the Khalifa. Khalifa in Arabic means the ruler, the caretaker of the creation of Allah in the heavens and the earth. But we have been given by Allah to test our faith in Allah a limited amount of freedom to choose. To choose whether we want to submit to Allah's will and obey Allah, or we want to follow our own ways, which leads us into the evil of this world and keeps us in the evil of this world. The Al-Fatiha is a prayer that we're not only is a prayer, but Allah called it the seven often repeated prayers in the Grand Quran. In other words, what Allah is saying is that in the Al-Fatiha, if you follow the Al-Fatiha, you're reading basically the whole Quran, and then the Al-Fatiha itself will guide. Not only Allah say if you're sincere and you follow the Al-Fatiha, will He guide you, but He say, I will protect you from all evil and make sure you are guaranteed I'll guide you all the way back home to Jannah in my eternity in the hereafter. So with that said, we'll start with the Al-Fatiha. Bismillah. الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين إذن صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. We just said people translated in the English with Allah's name. The merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise is due to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds, most gracious, the most merciful, master, ruler of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. We ask Allah to show us the straight way, people, the way of those on whom Allah have bestowed his favor and grace. And we ask Allah to protect us from being of those who reject faith in Allah and who go astray after Allah have guided them on his straight and righteous path when he created us. He created us with the nature of good people. So by nature, when Allah created us, we come in the world with a good nature. We don't come in the world. He don't bring us in this world with a bad nature. All the bad that comes to us after Allah created us and put us in this world come from ourselves. And all the good come from Allah. Always remember that. And that's the way it can help you in every situation in this life of trials and tribulations, of evil and temptation, that will help you to keep you on the right path if you just sincerely just read the Al-Fatiha. And I encourage Muslims and non-Muslims alike, read the Al-Fatiha all the time and learn it, and whatever you're going through, read the Al-Fatiha. Just keep reading the Al-Fatiha, and if you mean it from your heart, you'll find Allah work all of your problems out, no matter what the issues in this world you go through. I guarantee you, because I'm living proof for 45 years, Allah will work all of your problems out. But not only, I want to encourage you to, all of you, Muslim and non-Muslim, to read the Quran, Al-Fatiha, the opening chapter, but read the whole Quran. The whole Quran is so beautiful. There's no book like this on the planet. Even a lot of so-called white people, Caucasians now, they did have their own different types of religion, especially Christianity. That's the biggest. But do you know a lot of them are accepting Islam now? Even in the United States of America, while most African Americans are not accepting Islam, they are just trying to take the place of so-called white people when they were in their ignorance and thought they was more superior to black people and thought that black people were not even human, but three-fifths of a human being. That was in that time. But most white, this is a different era we're in. You got a lot of so-called white people, Caucasian people. They are remorseful for what their ancestors did to African-American people, and they are showing it by helping African-American people with that slave mind and them self-destructive mind. They're trying to bring them out of that, and they're trying to help them in other ways too, mentally, spiritually, and maturely. And they're doing it quiet as kept because they're not doing it for show. They're doing it to try to just show that we're not like our ancestors. We don't hate black people. We don't think that we are more superior or the Creator made us more superior to black people. We don't think that the Creator made us gods and didn't make dark-skinned people gods, but made us gods and gave us the God authority to be the gods over the darker people of the earth. They know better than that. And because you know why they know better? And most black people don't. They like to read. They're taught to read. Most black African-American people especially, they don't like to read. They'd rather be singing or playing or watching a basketball game, a football game, or doing some whatever other than reading. And the only way Allah said you're going to get to paradise, if you got to read his book, Quran, and he said you got to read his book constantly, because he said I'm speaking to you in the Quran, and if you follow what my guidance in the Quran, my guidance in the Quran will lead you straight to my paradise. You can't miss. And he said if you don't read the Quran, or you read the Quran and you don't follow his teachings, his truth in the Quran, he said that will lead you straight to the hellfire. So with that said, I just wanted to start off. A sister asked me last night to speak a little bit on the three major religions and how they connect. That is Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, and how those prophets connect with one another. Because, you know, that's always been a thing in religion for time immemorial. Even when the Jews was here to thousands of years ago, the Christians, they divided the religion and separated from the path of the man that founded all three religions, and he established the foundation of all three religions in monotheism. That's the oneness in the worship of the Creator, him and his son, and this man is Prophet Abraham and Prophet Ishmael. They built the Kaaba over in Mecca as a center, a symbol and a center of worship for all human beings, symbolizing that the Creator of all creation and all people is one. And we go to Mecca, the Muslims that can afford it, as a symbol. And Allah said the Hajj itself, it don't purify you. It's a symbol of purity. If you go and you go with a pure heart and you come back with a pure heart, and you strive to live what the symbolism represents, then you have completed your heart. What does the symbolism represent? The unity of all people. You must go back wherever you live, around the world, and work for unity and justice with all people, because we're all one human family. And we've been divided because of our own self-will. This is what divides us, our own self-will. So she wanted to know about that. So I want to come from the Quran on that a little bit, if you'll bear with me a moment, and then someone else can come on. This is the Holy Quran I'm coming from. This is Surah 3 called Al-Imran. And I'm starting here at Ayat 65. Allah, the Creator, say in his book, ye people of the book, talking about the Christian and the Jews, he said, why dispute ye about Abraham when the law of Moses and the gospel of Jesus were not revealed till after Prophet Abraham? Have ye no understanding? Allah say, ah, ye are those who fail to disputing, even in matters of which ye had some knowledge. But Allah say, why dispute ye in matters of which ye have no knowledge? Allah say, I am the one who know, and you know not. And ye know not. Yes, Allah says Abraham was not a Jew, nor was he a Christian, but he was true in faith in Allah and submitted his will to Allah's will, which is Islam. So it's telling you right there that Abraham, being the founding father of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, he was not a Jew, nor was he a Christian, but he bowed his will to the Creator's will, which is Islam. That's Islam. Islam means submission to the will of the Creator that you can't see. And he and it goes on to say, in Ayah 67, and he joined not false gods with Allah. It say, without a doubt, among people, the nearest of kin to Abraham are those who follow Abraham, as also the prophet Muhammad, and those who believe in Allah is the protector of those who believe and those who have faith in Allah. So we want to stop right there. We're not going to go far, but we just wanted to show where Prophet Abraham is the one, our sisters, for you new sisters, whether you just come on today or you've been a Muslim for 50 years or whatever, the truth don't change. Prophet Abraham is the founding father of all religion, not only Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and he is the one that, and Ishmael, his son, that established the Kaaba in Mecca as a center of worship for all people. And that's what the Kaaba represents. It represents all people coming together in the unity of the one Creator. I say Creator because in this English language, God, I don't like that term. If you're going to say God, say Almighty God, because people have made some of everything in the creation gods, and they worship those things. But when you say Almighty God, they know ain't nothing in the creation Almighty. The one, only one Almighty is the one you can't see to bring the sun up. The one you can't see that's got you breathing right now, the life he's given you. And if he take that life out of you right now, you'll die. You'll die right now. That's the one we're talking about. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum as-salam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shaheed Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. And as you can see, our beautiful radio listening audience, our host is here today bringing another profound message to you and discussion for us all. So we want you to join us in the discussion and give us some feedback. And you do that by pushing that number one button on the phone, and your number will show up on the switchboard. Right now, switchboard seems to be full, alhamdulillah, today, despite a few callers calling in. We thank Allah for each of you, and I believe the first caller that I see here is 336-918-2640. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from? All right, we have another caller here. We have number two. That's 336-413-4521. Give us your name and tell us where you're calling from. And I'm sorry, yes, I don't think I have a. I'm sorry, that's the ma'am that I'm looking at now. Yes, my apologies. Yeah, I didn't put the other caller online. That's why I couldn't hear from them. So let me try this again. My apologies. The 336-918-2640 number. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from? All right, I do have that person online now, so they're still not responding. And I think it's because perhaps they don't want to speak, they just want to listen. let's go on to another number. I'm going to put him on line. It's 404-247-4713. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from?
As-salamu alaykum. This is Kareem Shabazz from Atlanta, Georgia.
Wa alaykum salam, brother. We're good, brother Abdul Kareem. Brother, we're good. We hope you are, and we hope the whole Atlanta community is doing well, not only the Muslims, but all the people there. We hope that there is a big change in Atlanta. We know it's a change there because you are there, and Allah says if it's just one Muslim in a town or a big city and they make a change, he'll save that whole city just because of one believer, trying to call the people back to the remembrance of their creator and let them know the purpose of life that he created for them is to live a righteous life and to treat each other justly and love each other and not hate and despise each other. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for that, brother. I want to talk today from my own self, because every Sunday I come on and I read the tafsir that has been translated into English of what Allah says. But I feel I've come to a point where I need to talk from myself about my understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with. I normally don't speak for myself because sometimes stuff blurts out of my mouth that I wish I could bring back. And I don't like that. I don't like to say the wrong thing and people believe it. But we have to do something in our head, and I'm trying to do it in mine, which is to understand what we are and who we are. We say what Allah says, that he created a khalifa. And you adequately define what that means, a caretaker, a ruler, a vicegerent. These are not words that are familiar to us. We have been more like rugged individualists, trying to do our own thing. And this is not what this is about. This is trying to do your own thing is what the shaitan is encouraging you to do. The shaitan is telling you and me that we don't need nobody but ourselves. And we can make it happen, whatever it is. But that's not true. If that was true, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have sent Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. He has made what the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, said and did as if he said and did it.
That's right.
We must obey him as we would obey Allah. So we have to know what he said, we have to know what he did, and we have to do it too. And what he did was everything that Allah told him to do, and we have to do that too. We don't have any options here.
That's right.
We say we have free will, free choice, and we do, but it's limited. It's limited
sure
to either doing what Allah said or not doing what Allah said. That's our choice.
That's right.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down remedies to combat the evil of the shaitan, because he knows what the shaitan is. He knows what the shaitan is doing. And the shaitan has set up his own empire. just like that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
He has set up ways of doing things, rules for doing things, procedures and policies for doing things, evil. And
that's
the
right.
Opposite, anything that's the opposite of what Allah says, He set up a system to make that happen and to tempt people into believing that doing the opposite of what Allah says is the perfect thing to do.
That's right.
And we have to understand that, and we have to pull all of this together. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all that we need in order to pull this all together in our minds and in our hearts so that we can be the Khalifa that he created. And he has been following us. I mean, there are things in the Quran where Allah says that he follows us when we're in the womb. He follows us from the womb throughout our life. He sent an angel, two angels with us that
That's
record
right.
what we do. And he's been keeping tabs on us and keeping track of us, just like they have this tracking system with Amazon and some of these other corporations that track our packages. Allah has been
mm-hmm.
tracking us. He's been tracking billions of people for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And he's going to have a final judgment. We have to put our heads around this and get this concept, because this is what we have to do in order to be the Khalifa that he created in us. I've been doing some research on ancient civilizations. Allah talks about ancient civilizations that we have never even heard of. There's been something like, there's been a report that there's over 200,000 prophets have been sent to mankind. Most of them were unsuccessful. They
That's
were
right.
unsuccessful because the people refused to believe in the messenger. And we have the possibility of doing that as well. If we don't get on the case and start doing the things that we need to do in order to understand our relationship with the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him.
Yes, that's right.
Because he's our model.
Yes, he is.
He's our model Mu'min. He's our model Muslim. He's who we need to be like.
Yes.
And that's why he was sent here, to show us how a Muslim walks, talk, combs his hair, sits down, stands up, does everything in life.
That's right.
And until we get that, we're on a teeter-totter where we can go to the Jahannam, we can go to the fire, or we can go to the Jannah, to the paradise. I get a lot of I guess all of us do. I've seen a lot of very inhumane things that man is doing to other men, and
yes.
the government is doing to the people, and the people
yes.
are doing to each other. Evil, mean, spirited, very, very evil things that they do for
Wicked.
Whatever their reason is for doing it.
Yes.
And there's a lot of evil in the world, and people want to have these things go viral. But when they go viral, when the evil thing goes viral, it doesn't change anything. What we have to do in order to change the way this society is going and to change is to change ourselves and become the model that we aspire to. We have to follow the formula that has been set down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. And he's given us a formula that I started working on and telling you about last week. when I talked about glorifying Allah. This is the key. I'm going to talk about the tafsir of certain ayahs from the Quran that I hope will pull all of this together. And I hope that, inshallah, Allah will bless me not to say something stupid that I wish I could get back, like I sometimes do when I talk on my own. But this is the formula for eradicating evil from the world. Number one, do good deeds. What is a good deed? When a situation arises, we have choices. We can either do it this way or we can handle it that way. If one of our children does something that displeases us, we can either kick him out of the house if he lives with us, or kick him out of our family, or we can hug him up and explain to him that this was a wrong thing that you did and you shouldn't do those things, and be patient and loving to him or her. So we have to do good to people. We have to be good to ourselves. And this will result in us defeating evil, because that's what evil does. Evil does the punishment that we would expect from Allah. We decide that we're going to mete out this punishment. We're going to punish the people for doing something that we don't like. And we don't have that choice. We don't have that power. And we should not be doing that. We should be doing good and not evil.
That's right.
The best way of making you virtuous is to establish prayer, which will remind you of Allah over and over again. When the Rasul, when the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, went on the Miraj to Jannah, he was given five daily prayers for us to glorify Allah by. At first, Allah told him 50, but he was told to go back and ask him to reduce that amount, and he reduced it to 5 prayers a day. So 5 prayers a day at specific times fills up our day with glorifying Allah. But it's also purifying us, because we're worshiping the Lord who created us. And we know we're pleasing Allah when we're in salah, when we're in prayer. And this prayer will produce good characteristics in you that help you fight successfully against the systematic and united front of evil that has been formed against the mission of the truth. So this prayer is extremely important. I know a lot of people don't pray 5 times a day. A lot of people aren't able to pray 5 times a day in the prescribed times that you're supposed to pray. And they have to bunch the prayers up in the beginning of the day or the end of the day when they come home from work. But we have to start praying 5 times a day. The majority of the civilizations that have been destroyed, and there's evidence under the sea, on the land, in the jungles, huge monolithic buildings that have been built by somebody or something, and I have some theories about how that was done, because they just take, for instance, the pyramids with these huge blocks, thousands of tons. Who could carry that? guys with bare feet running up a hill, pushing a brick up a hill on a log. That's ridiculous to even think of something like that.
That's a fact.
But that's what people are thinking happened. And they're
that's
trying
right.
to get their mind around it and make it the truth. But that's not the truth. What I believe,
no, it's not.
What I believe is that Allah helped them.
Yes.
Build those things.
Yes,
and
sir.
And Allah has angels that are in charge of administering this world. One of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I've come to understand him to mean, and Allah knows best, not me, is that he has told the angels, when he created Adam, he told the angels to bow down to him. And he explained something when the angels asked him if he would create someone who would spread mischief and spill the blood of the people. He said, I know what you know not. And he is... had administrators of the rain, for instance. He has an angel who's in charge of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
He has an angel in charge of the mountains.
Right.
He has an angel who's in charge of the forest.
Yes.
An angel in charge of the jungle.
Absolutely.
And each one of these angels has limited scope of and duties that he's supposed to perform to administer the good usage of these things that Allah has created.
Yes.
But he has created, in the man, he created a khalifa who knows the names of all, he knows all of these things. He
yes.
knows about the mountains. He knows about the rain. He knows about the forest. He knows about the jungle. He knows about the animals. He knows
yes.
about the fish of the sea. The man knows all of these things. So he is above the angels in knowledge.
Yes.
And he's above the angels in responsibility.
Yes.
Because he can administer all of these things by himself.
That's right.
But he has to do it the way Allah tells him to do it.
Only.
And this is where the problem comes in. Because
yes.
when he has all this power, he thinks he has a tendency to think that this power is because he's such a great person.
That's right.
And he refuses to give that praise to Allah and let Allah and praise Allah for blessing him to be able to do this.
This is
work,
correct.
To be able to do these things, to be able to understand these things. So Allah says in the Quran, this will enable you to establish if you pray and praise and glorify Allah, this will enable you to establish the system of virtue and reform. So we have to get out of this mindset of trying to do things the way the Shaitan does them. The way he has set up this world. I mean, I'm not going to be surprised if Trump doesn't get reelected. I don't think they're going to impeach him.
I don't either.
Because they're all a bunch of liars and crooks.
That's right.
And they're going to find some kind of way to show that this man did what was right. And this is what the evil do. Is that they
you
make
have
evil
one
racks.
Minute. You have 1 minute, and then we'll call you back later.
Okay. I'm sorry it takes so long. Assalamu alaikum.
No.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right. Well, we have now time for another guest speaker. Would you like to speak at this time, Imam Shabazz, and then we'll call someone else on?
Yes. Briefly, I want to say that was beautiful what the Imam Abdul Karim Shabazz out of Atlanta, Georgia was saying to us. It was very beautiful because
yes, it was.
If you don't know, if you go on a job, I'm going to give you an example. If you go on a job And I've been on many jobs. And the man, the manager, the owner, he give you a specific task, a work to do. And you do opposite of what he tell you to do. Not only is he not going to pay you, but he going to fire you. Now, I said that to say this. Allah said that when he created the heavens and the earth, he said that he gave the responsibility of caliphship for the mountains, to the moon, the sun, different parts of his creation to take care of all his creation. And he said all the parts of his creation, they reneged. They said, no, we don't want that responsibility, Allah. They was afraid they might not be able to carry out that responsibility, because that's a great responsibility, people. And God, Allah say, when he created man and told man about the responsibility of a caliphship on the earth, to take rule on the earth and caretaker, man just jumped on it like, he know he got it, I got it, like the man was saying, all cocky, I got it. Yeah, we'll take it, Allah. He said, man is hasty. And he say, man didn't realize how serious this job and responsibility was. And you can look out here in the world and tell with the majority of people, they do not realize how serious it is to, especially the government and religion. These people do not, supposed to be leaders, they do not realize how the consequences that there are that come with the responsibility of making this world right, of making this world a just world, a world of justice and equality for everyone, a world that's likened unto the world of Allah in the Jannah, in the heaven of Allah, in the hereafter. Allah created this world in the beginning. It was a Jannah. And I want to say this. Maybe some have heard it and some haven't. And Imam, you can correct me if I need correcting. I stand to be corrected. When Allah created the, you know, the earth down, the heavens and the earth, he, I understand, had the archangel Jibril to look. You say it a different way, but you can say it if you want to when you come back around. He had the archangel Jibril to look down and, as you said, come around the earth and look at the heavens and say, how can anybody go wrong in such a such a beautiful, good world like that, beautiful world, good, orderly world. And in an instant, Allah let him come around the earth, look down at the earth, after he had allowed Satan, put Satan down here. And the archangel Jibril was in tears. And really, he said, Allah, oh, how can anyone go right? How can anyone do right in such a world like that, an evil world like that? So, people, this is serious. You have to take on the responsibility as an individual to save your own soul and mind from the evil and corruptions of this government and all the other evil governments and all the evil religions on the planet Earth, because I assure you, all of them are evil. And if they ain't evil, why we got all this evil in the world? And Christianity, if it was the right, if it was the way Jesus taught, why is the most Christians so evil and corrupt and hate Muslim? Just that right there. And I'm in a state where they really hate Muslim, and they've tried to kill me consistently for 45 years. A lot of them cause them to ease up now in the state of North Carolina. So why is that? And the Jews go around and they think they own the whole world. They control most of the radio stations, TV stations, anything dealing with getting the message out, messages, the computers out to the people. The Jew, the so-called Jewish people, light-skinned Jewish, pale-skinned Jewish people, they control and they're promoting evil every single day on the TV, on the computers. So what do we have to do? I wrote a sign, and the co-host, she told me, she said, I do a little artwork,
And she said, you should read that sign to the people, and you should have that on the show one day. So I'm going to read this to you all, and then I'm going to give away to somebody else. But this sign right here, as you walk in my door and you turn and sit down on the couch, you got to see the sign, and you're going to see a picture of the Kaaba of Mecca, Saudi Arabia, a huge picture almost covering the wall. But this is what this picture, these words on this poster say. Allah is the only creator. All creation is the word of Allah. But in order to hear Allah's voice in his creation, you must be spiritually alive. Spiritually alive. Most people are spiritually dead because they only believe in the creation and forget about the creator. They worship themselves and the things created. People, every person and thing will soon disappear back to nothing. But Allah, the creator, will exist forever. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. You're listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. And this Sunday discussion is, all revelation from Allah is one and eternal. And we are having a profound discussion from our beautiful brothers on this, and beautiful guests, always our Imam in Georgia. Profound, profound message he brought to us today. And we want you to take this serious, people. It's not for entertainment, but it's to take for you to think upon, study upon, and try to change that in your heart and soul that you see is not pleasing to Allah as a result of getting the proper way and best way to live your life through these co-host imams who are coming on to bring the word of Allah to you. And take it serious as you listen to it. I'm going to have another guest now. This guest is 336-409-0792. And I believe that's our imam from Winston-Salem. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah. I hope everybody's doing well on this beautiful rainy Sunday. Alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. We are all praises due to Allah for whatever he sent us. We know that Allah is all good, so whatever he sent us is good. The first good, great good he gave us, he woke us up this morning, put life back in our body.
That's right.
So it's a good thing when he do that.
You're absolutely right. I think you started with that too. Alhamdulillah. You start counting your blessings from the very beginning. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Well, alhamdulillah, I want to thank you for letting me listen to a beautiful show so far. Alhamdulillah. The sister, I heard it from the opening this time, so I got out of the county in time to get to the phone. From the beginning. So I heard the sister speak. I heard the brother from Atlanta speak. I heard you, alhamdulillah. And I was just pretty much here nodding my head the whole time. So I jotted down a few things that I thought I would have interjected if we were all, you know, live on there. But so just a few things, because one thing, if there's non-Muslims listening or people who are very new to Islam listening, and Imam Abdul Karim from Atlanta had said that we have to follow the Prophet Muhammad, that we have to follow him in everything he does, and that it's coming from God, it comes from Allah, and I think a question that somebody who doesn't know a lot about the religion may ask is, they may say, well, you guys are no different than the Christians, because you follow Muhammad and we follow Jesus, or you worship, you know, they might say, you know, you worship Muhammad just like we worship Jesus. You know, you do everything he says. He's the final word and, you know, and this and that. And I just wanted to make that so clear that the answer to that is obviously, is for Muslims, is no. There's only one Allah,
and there's nothing like him. Muhammad was a human being, just like Jesus was a human being, just like Moses and Abraham and Noah were all human beings, and there's nothing like Allah. So no person who walked on this earth who had to eat and had to go to the bathroom and had to sleep when he got tired and had to, that's not going to be Allah. That's not going to be a person that's worshipped. Follow him is different. Follow him lock and step. It's like saying there's somebody like a new driver. It gets behind the wheel with the person in the passenger seat who also has a steering wheel or a brake in that on the passenger side when they teach you how to drive. That person who's learning how to drive, he's not worshiping his driving instructor or a football coach coaches a team, tells the players, you know, this is how you do it, this is how you look. Those players aren't worshiping their coach. They're following their coach. Their coach is their guide. He's their instructor. He's going to show them how he wants that play run. The driving instructor is going to show them how to drive down this street. This is the speed limit. This is where, how you make a left turn. You put on your turning indicator. This is, he's going to instruct them. And the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is our guide on how to live, like the brother said, how to stand up, how to eat, how to sit down, how to go to the restroom, how to enter your house, how to leave your house, how to enter the masjid,
right.
Every single thing. We are fortunate enough to know from the messenger, and it's only befitting that if the Lord of the world was going to give us one last set of instructions on how to worship him, it's only befitting that he sends the last messenger and makes his every action so recorded that we don't have any excuse to do the wrong thing.
None whatsoever.
So, none whatsoever. He makes it so, he recorded, we recorded the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, his every action. I mean, he had multiple wives, so we know in the house with the wives, in the house with the kids, outside of the house, with his Sahaba, which is like his closest friends, his companions, with his business when he was doing business, with his enemies when they wanted to argue with him, when he was in a debate, when he was teaching, when he was preaching. We know all of that, and it's only befitting
right.
that we know all of that if we want to live a life that pleases the Lord of the world, because I can't
right.
take it upon myself. And this is just, you know, just so important. I mean, you can't say we worship Muhammad. No, we follow his teachings just like you follow a coach or you follow any guide. If I don't know how to climb a mountain and I got a mountain climber guide, you better believe I'm going to follow everything he says, because one wrong step, I'm going to fall off that mountain and I don't want to do it. Okay?
That's right.
I jumped out of a plane, and the first time I did it, I had a guy strapped to my back, because he had to show me, this is how you jump out of a plane, and this is when you pull the parachute, and this is how you look at your little wrist thing to see how many feet you are from the ground. He had to show me, and you best believe I followed every step to make sure I didn't plummet to the earth, okay, without that parachute opening up. And that is just the fact that Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is a guide, and it's only befitting that if the Lord of the world had to choose a guide for us, he didn't only just choose a man, he chose the best of mankind.
Yes, he did.
How we try to do it. The brother said with the election, we try to elect the best person to be president. Of course, like Imam Shahid says, the media, which is sometimes controlled by corrupt people, can put ideas in your head and make you think that the most corrupt person is the best person, and the best person is the most corrupt person. That's because we can easily be fooled by watching TV too doggone much and not picking up a book, like the brother
said. That's right, brother.
Okay?
Say it again.
Because you watch TV too much. You look at every doggone blogger, okay, talking about whatever their opinion is, and that's not usually the accurate, best way to go. That's why Imam from Atlanta, Abdul Karim, was so, when he said, I'm speaking for myself, he hedged himself. He was so cautious as to, I don't want to say something that I, you know, because you let something out your mouth, you can't get it back in. I don't want to say something that's wrong. When we speak from ourselves, we're very cautious because we know we're human. We can make mistakes, man. You
that's
get
right.
upset or catch us the wrong way. We can make all kinds of mistakes, which only magnifies the importance of Allah choosing the best person to reveal his message, because you don't have any companions. Even the people who were there just to serve the Prophet Muhammad said he never even raised his voice at me. His wives, when they cook, if they could cook, because, you know, they would go months where they would say a fire wasn't even lit in some of the houses of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they didn't have any meat to cook. But if he didn't like something that he ate, he just didn't eat it. He didn't say, oh, this is nasty. Why didn't you use more salt? Why didn't you? I mean, there was no time even in his character that we could find something impeachable. That was bad. So Allah chose the best of mankind, which only makes sense.
Yes, he did.
It only makes sense. If you're going to choose somebody for a mission, you choose the best. We sent astronaut to the moon. We didn't just pick any Tom, Dick, and Harry who could fly a plane. You know, you pick the best, and that's what it is. And we have that. And because of that, we know what behavior and what deeds please Allah and what deeds don't. I told the guys in the county today, if I was a heck of a dancer, and I got down here and said, I'm going to break dance for Allah and start spinning on my head and doing all these dance moves, you know, would that be accepted by Allah? Because I'm putting 150% of these dance moves, all my energy into dancing my butt off to please Allah. Do we have any example, any proof that Allah likes me to dance? Could I just say, well, I'm doing this for Allah to please Allah? I might, but that doesn't mean it's going to be accepted. It's not accepted unless you know. I know the messenger, peace and blessings be upon him. I know for a fact the words came out of his mouth, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. So I know I could say there is no God but Allah. This is a loose translation of the meeting, and Allah is his messenger. I know these words because they're not translated. They're the exact Arabic that was spoken, and it was verified by the companions up until now, and I could read it from 10 different books, and it'll say the exact same thing. So I could I could be certain that this act of worship will please Allah because the Prophet did it. And if I could be certain about the Prophet Muhammad, and if I had that kind of information on Esau, Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, or Moses, peace and blessings be upon him, or Abraham, peace and blessings be upon him, if I had that, then I would know that this type of behavior is pleasing to God because the messengers who God chose to give his message were the best of people, and they did these things to please God. So I know I could do these things to please God. Other than that, I don't know, right? That guy would tell the brothers at the jail, you don't know if I invite you to my house for dinner, my mother says she's going to cook for us. You don't know if you could bring my mother chocolate. She's diabetic. You can't bring her chocolate and say, oh, this is a house gift I bought for you just because you like chocolate or your mother likes chocolate. You don't know you could bring my mother roses and say, oh, I'm bringing your mother roses. You know, she invited us over for dinner. I'm going to bring her. She has allergies. You can't bring her no roses. She's going to be sneezing all day. Leave those roses out on the front porch. You have to ask me because I know my mother. I could tell you, my mother, you better bring her some house slippers or a robe or one of those little figurines that say something cute and fancy on it, like, you know, love this house or something, you know, because I know. And the messengers can give us that information because Allah communicated with them, either through the angel Jibril or directly when we received the prayer. It communicated to the messengers, and the messengers communicate to us. So when you started, Imam Shabazz, and you said, you know, that the sister had asked about the unity of the different messengers of the three main religions, which the three monotheistic religions that believe in one God are Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. When you said that, it's just such a beautiful topic because I gave the khutbah at the masjid today, Friday, and you know, it's a a line that runs through all of our religions, because the messengers were all prophets of Allah. They were all messengers of God, and they had the same message. It's us who corrupted them. It's human beings that corrupted these messages. Abraham, you know, you read it earlier. You know, these messengers were out before the book was out. Okay, Allah had to reveal the message to the scriptures, the Torah, the Injil, the Suhuf Ibrahim Ewa Musa, the Gospel of Abraham and Moses. Those were revealed to the messengers. Those were revealed to them. If we want to take this word out and cover this page up and follow this but not follow that, that's our own flawed method of trying to worship God. And when you do that, God does not accept it. So he sent Muhammad.
No, he don't.
Exactly. And he does not accept it. You cover this page. I want to do this, but I don't want to do that. Oh, I like this part of the religion, but I don't like that part of the religion. You know, we want to ignore the 800-pound gorilla in the room, Sodom and Gomorrah. All the books mention it. Sodom and I forgot the Arabic, the way it's pronounced in Arabic, but all the books mention it. You want to ignore that and just embrace homosexuality or, you know, man and man and women on women. We can't necessarily embrace big 800-pound gorillas in the room like that just because society is going that way, or just because we've got to follow the teachings of all the messengers. And since Muhammad is the last messenger and we have all the information we need to follow our day-to-day life based on those teachings, then we know what pleases God clearly. And if we choose to ignore it, it's at our own demise. It's at our own detriment. So the enemies, the people who want to kill you just because you worship God, want to kill you just because you're Muslim, want to fire you just because you don't eat pork or because you, you know, pray this way, they want to, you know, do those. That's only to their detriment. It's only to your detriment. You can't be upset with the person because they say, hey, I worship only one God, and we're so, so serious about it that we follow our book, which has teachings in the book which explain what one God means. Because I can't say one, like I only drive one car, but I'm sitting in a parking lot with 1,000 cars, and I just drive one. So there's other cars if you just say one and that's all you mean by one. No, one Allahu Samad. Nothing, there's nothing like. You can't even compare. You can't say there's another car, there's 1,000 other cars. The way Allah explains his oneness doesn't allow room for a trinity in Islam. It doesn't allow room, and the Jews don't believe in the trinity, and the Muslims don't believe in the trinity. Only our Christian brothers and sisters believe in the trinity, and there's no way you could worship and it says in Quran, he begets not, nor is he begotten. So he doesn't have any kids, and he's not anybody's child. So
that's right.
How could you say son of God or this or that? These words, you know, are against what any of the messengers said. Any of the messengers,
that's right.
None of the messengers said these words. They are not accepted by God, and they are very, very dangerous for people to say and just take them for granted and say, well, this is what my mother said, and this is what my parents believe, or whatever other reason that you have for believing that. But when we say oneness, we could go to Quran and say, Allah says, Allahu Samad, there's nothing like unto him. He says, Lem yalid wa lem yulad wa lem yakul. He begets not, nor is he begotten. So we could dispel anything that takes it from one God being unique and all-powerful and not in need of anything, to having any kind of partners, to sending any flawed messengers that didn't really, really give us the full message. We could just negate anything except worshiping God. And if you just want to worship God, hey, that's what Muslim means. So if you're Muslim and you just want to worship God, you don't have to call it Muslim. You call yourself Muslim if you don't want to. But if you just want to worship God, then you want to follow the messenger. In this case, I'm talking about Muhammad. But even if you were talking about Moses or Abraham or Noah, you would only worship one God, one creator of the heaven, earth, stars, moon, everything, galaxy, and every other galaxy we don't know about. You would only worship that one being, that one creator, And because you would want to please him, like any ibadi, like any slave or any lower person wants to please the person in charge, like any child would want to please their parents. If you want to please your Lord who gives you everything, you didn't ask for your arms, you didn't ask for your eyes, you didn't pay any money for your ears to hear, you didn't
That's
pay
right.
any money for that. It was just given to you. So if you want to
yes.
please the Lord, the Creator that gave you all of that, then you would want to find out what's pleasing to him. You
yes.
would want to do that. And to know what's
That's
pleasing
right.
to him, you've got to check in with the messenger. You got to check in. Other than that, you're just bringing my mother flowers or bringing my mother chocolate when she got allergies and diabetes. You're just breakdancing and saying, my dance is great. I'm doing it for God. And you don't even know if God wants you to dance.
That's
so,
right.
So,
stop here. Excuse me for interrupting. Our emails are so beautiful today. We just want you to go on and on, but we want to just to have the chance. Want to remind the people that we are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. I know everything is just so profound that they're probably in another world right now, like I was. And the Imams are explaining so beautiful. There's no excuse to go back and say, I didn't know, I didn't understand, because you're getting it all here today in a way that you can't, all so clear that you can understand. Even a child can understand. So people want to thank Allah for this blessing that he's bestowed upon us. And we'll continue with the show. And at this time, we will have another guest on. That's 202-674-3189 number. Let me put you on first. Now, could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from? Okay. It seems like that person might be trying to speak something that's not coming through. I don't know. It seems like there's a problem with the mic or something. But we will call on that person a little later if they have something to say. Right now, we can see in the background that's really sort of confusing here. So, all right, we'll go back to Imam Shahid Shabazz at this point and ask him to give us a word or two. Imam Shabazz.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I want to read from the Quran, and these beautiful ayats or verses from the Quran are so clear, and they just put a capital mark on everything everybody said. First of all, this is Surah 7, ayat 54. Allah says, your God and your Lord is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Then he established himself on the throne of authority. Allah draws the night as a veil over the day, each seeking the other in rapid succession. Allah created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Listen carefully. All governed by laws under Allah's command. Is it not Allah's to create and to govern people? Blessed be Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds. And this is very important too. Call on your Lord Allah with humility and in private, for Allah loveth not those who trespass beyond bounds. It says here in prayer, we must avoid any arrogance or show or loudness in words or vanity in our talking or request of words. It says if excess is condemned in all things, excess is especially worthy of condemnation when we go humbly before our Lord, us poor creatures, weak creatures before the omnipotent who knoweth all. This is something we need to think about. We're just a small part of the creation of the Creator. yet he give us so much power as human beings. And most human beings misuse this power, as the Imam said, and think it's their power, when all power come from the Creator. He have all power. This is the Creator we're talking about, the so-called God. The God, the Almighty God, if you're going to say God, because we know there ain't nothing in the creation Almighty. The only one Almighty is the one that created the creation. So I wanted to get that out to people so you'll know that it is Allah who created the heavens and the earth, not a prophet, not a man, and not, he didn't just create the heavens and the earth. He established himself on the throne of authority as the ruler and the governor, the controller over the heavens and the earth. So even though we see evil everywhere, evil still don't have power or authority over the heavens and the earth. Evil only have influence, or if you want to call it power, over human beings who reject to follow or submit to the will of their Creator, Allah. When you don't submit to the will of Allah, where you going to get some power to practice self-control or self-restraint when the evil come at you? How you going to resist the evil when the evil come at you if you don't have the power from your Creator, if you ain't in remembrance of his goodness and his power, if you don't call on your Creator when evil attacks you? How is you going to be able to defend yourself against your own evil and the evil of Satan and his followers, the jinn, the evil spirits, and the evil-spirited people that we see? How are you going to get into protection? Allah said in the Quran, he is the protector of those who truly believe in, obey him. Allah, the Creator, say those who reject faith in him have no protection. And that reminds me of a guy named Muhammad Ali when he was getting ready to fight a man named Sonny Liston years ago, back in 1964, I think, to be exact. And everybody, this man was called the Bear, Sonny Liston. And he was knocking out people like Mike Tyson in the first, and most of the first round and second round, no later than the second round. I mean, knocking them out viciously. Like when he knocked them out, they weren't going to get back up in this world no more. They was gone. And Muhammad Ali, most everybody, he was a Muslim then, and even a lot of the Muslims, a great majority, they wondered, me too. Well, but Muhammad Ali might beat this man, but when we heard what Muhammad Ali said, you knew why he defeated. That's just like David and Goliath, this man that was like a gorilla, like him fighting a gorilla or a bear. You can't part. That's why they call him the Bear. And Muhammad Ali said, other people might be afraid of you, but I'm not afraid of you. And Muhammad Ali, after he beat him, he told him, it was questioning him. He said, I told y'all I was going to beat him. I told you what I was going to do before I did it. He said, if Almighty Allah, our God, is with me, nobody, the world can't be, is for me, the world can't be against me. He said, I know the real God. And that was very powerful what he said, because if you don't know the real God, these false gods that you're making up for yourself, they can't help you. That's why the world in the shape it's in is worshiping false gods. And those false gods don't have no power to help you. And the biggest false god that most people are following, that's destroying them and causing them to destroy other human beings, is themselves. Allah, the Creator, saying, I'm through. He said, all the good that happens to humankind, mankind, comes from Allah. And he said, all of the bad or evil that comes to humankind come from our own selves, our own soul, our will, our own ways, following our own will, our own way. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabbat, Reality of the Creator. I mean, thank you for joining us this morning. As you can see, we are having a powerful discussion from from many guest speakers today. Emails mainly, and we want to thank all of you, but please don't be afraid to come on because emails are speaking. Allah has put this message in all of us and something for us to give to others. So if you have anything that you want to say, join us. Come right on. Light up this board here, and we'll call on you. Here's another number that I have not called on. That number is 336-918-2640. Give us the name and tell us where you're calling from. Again, as I said, there are those who prefer to just listen, and we can understand. And they take that sometimes to listen more so than speak until you really get what you really need and what you really want to say. You listen first, and you learn, and you absorb, and you decide what you need to say. We don't just jump into talking because you want to say something. So we can understand and we appreciate that and respect the fact that you just want to listen. Even though you're not chosen on the board, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have something to say. So we're going to go back now to our beautiful imam from Georgia. He hasn't spoken in a long time, and have him to give us another word.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
As we were saying before, to help you fight successfully against the systematic and united front of evil that has been formed against the mission of the truth, Allah says through the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, so bear patiently with what they say. Glorify your Lord, praising him before sunrise and before sunset, and in the watches of the night, and glorify him at the end of the day, that you may attain happiness. This is in chapter 20, Taha, verse 130. This is to comfort and console the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, as if to say, Allah does not intend to destroy them yet, for he has appointed for them a term of respite. So you should endure with patience whatever they do against you. And they're doing a lot against us. But we have to
stand. Yes, they are.
Just like what Allah told the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. And this is what he did. He was patient with whatever they did, whatever they said. He said, you should endure with patience whatever they do against you and hear their harsh talk and go on performing the obligations of your mission. This implies that the perseverance required to face adverse circumstances is obtained by the establishment of prayer. The original Arabic text allows for two meanings of this. First, rest content with your present condition, in which you have to hear many unpleasant things for the sake of your mission, and submit to this decree that they are not being punished for the time being, for they will continue to persecute you and at the same time lead prosperous lives. The second meaning is go on performing your mission, for as a result of this, you will be fully satisfied. The second meaning is supported by Surah, chapter Al-Isra, verse 79. And basically it says that time is not far when your Lord may exalt you to a laudable position, which follows the commandment about prayer. B is supported by chapter Ad-Duha, ayahs 4 and 5, verses 4 and 5, where he says, surely the latter period of life will be better for you than the former. And in the near future, your Lord will give you so much that you will be fully satisfied. For this purpose, you should offer prayer in accordance with the prescribed times, because it will create in you self-control and endurance. The times of prayer has been prescribed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has introduced another prayer called Tahajjud. Tahajjud, the literal meaning of Tahajjud is to rise up by breaking sleep. It means to rise up from sleep after the passing of a part of the night and then offer your prayer. The Tahajjud prayer is in addition to the five prescribed prayers. And the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, prayed this Tahajjud prayer constantly. And you get benefit from praying that prayer. And so you should do it. Glorify your Lord means offer your prescribed prayers, as it's clear from what Allah says in chapter Taha, command prayer on your household. Keep observing it. We do not ask you for any worldly provision. Rather, it is we who provide you. And ultimately, the pious will end up the best. This is in chapter Taha, verse 132. Thus, the Quran at different places has pointed to the five prayer times at which the Muslims the world over offer their prayers.
Brother Imam Shabazz.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
I want to add something to prayer from the Quran that's also very vital and essential for the prayers to even be accepted.
Good.
If I can at this time.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Allah says in Surah 10, He says, O mankind, there have come to you a direction from your Lord, and a healing for the diseases in your hearts, and for those who believe in Allah, a guidance and a mercy. Say, in the bounty of Allah and in Allah's mercy, in that let them rejoice. That is better than the material wealth the unbelievers hoard. Now, I'll go over another page, and I will read Surah 10, Ayat 61. Allah says, in whatever business, right now, thou, meaning everybody, may be doing, and whatever portion of the Quran we might be reciting right now from the Quran. And Allah said, whatever deed ye mankind may be doing right now, all the time, Allah is the Shaheed, witnesses thereof. When ye are deeply engrossed, whether it's good or bad, in something, Allah said, he's witness to it. He's watching you. He's right there. Allah say, nor is hidden from thy Lord Allah so much as the weight of an atom on the earth or in heaven, and not the least and not the greatest of these things, as you said before, are but recorded in a clear record. Behold, truly on the friends of Allah there is no fear, nor shall they grieve. And these are those who believe in Allah and constantly guard against evil. For them are glad news in this their life of the present, the material world, and in the hereafter. No change can there be in the words of Allah. This is indeed the supreme felicity. Let not their speech, as you said, grieve thee, for all power and all honor belong to Allah. Allah is the one who heareth and knoweth all things. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam
wa rahmatullah. Yeah, it's very important, people, that we establish prayer five times a day. We have to do this if we want to make it to the Jannah. We have to glorify Allah by praying five times a day. I know we're short on time, so I'm going to stop there and let the imam continue and close out. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yeah, and I do want you to understand how much time we have, co-host.
All right, you have 6 minutes.
Okay, I do want to say this in our conclusion, that not only do we put the emphasis on prayer, because I read it in the Quran this morning, the five times a day, but Allah says even after your five prescribed prayers, you can pray laying down on your side, you can pray sitting, you can pray standing up, you can pray walking. So prayer essentially, those five prayers is essentially to keep you or to direct you to remember Allah at all times of day and all times of night until you go to bed. When you wake up, you remember Allah. And we have prayers to take you all throughout the day. But prayer is not just rituals, going through a certain rituals five times a day. Prayer, those rituals mean that you should remember your Lord, remember your Creator at all times. There's not a time a creator, a creature, can forget Allah. Everything in the heavens and the earth remembers Allah all the time without stopping. And so must we as human beings, if we expect for Allah, our Creator, to guide us, we must remember Allah at all times. Me and a sister, we talk and we go. She's in her 70s, I'm in my 60s. And we can remember when, you know, we was growing up that you had to say your prayer before you ate. You had to say your prayer before you went to bed. When we was going through hard times, rather than resort to evil, we start praying. Prayer changes things, not evil. And Allah say, Satan, the devil, threatens you with poverty so you can go out here and do all this evil trying to survive. And most people are doing that. But Allah said, if you have faith in me, I own everything. If you just obey me, I will provide for you. But most people act like the devil is in control of the material world and act like Allah, the Creator, is only in control of the spiritual world. People, that's not so. And until you get that false thinking out of your head and your heart and your soul, you're always going to be under the influence and the power of evil. You must remember Allah from the time, Allah said, remember me from the time the sun rises to the sunset and all throughout the night. And those tajihud prayers, the imam was saying, Allah has been blessing me to make those tajihud prayers, so many of them. My last wife can tell you, I made so many of them that, you know, it would be over 100 sometimes. I would just make them unconsciously. For 45 years, breaking my sleep, getting up, making these prayers, and then not only making these prayers, but your prayers are no good if you don't go out and do good works. In fact, Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad in my conclusion to teach us, all the Muslim, and the Muslim to teach the people are in all religions, in all walks of life, that if you believe in the Creator Allah and you pray to him and you get up and you go do some evil, you don't get closer to the Creator. The Creator Allah said you only get farther away from him into the hell fire. So be careful, people. Don't pray and then continue intentionally to do wrong and think that's acceptable by the Creator, because he only accepts good. And he said those who confuse their wrongdoing with their good, they don't have any security or protection from him at all. So we'll stop right there and let the co-host see if she got anything to say.
Well, we only have a minute and a half at this point, brothers, so that she could give us the closing prayer, and we will end the show for today. And it's been a beautiful show. And we really thank Allah for all of you for listening, for all of you guests who come on and giving us this beautiful knowledge and wisdom from the Creator to take to others, to use ourselves to even better our lives. These days we must be better than we did the day before. So at this point, we have Imam Shaheed Shabazz to go to prayer, and we will close for today.
Oh Allah, Creator of the heavens and the earth, Lord of all lords, Lord of all systems of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, the Creator of life and the Creator of death, we say, Kul Hu Allah, Hu Ahad. We say, you are one,
There's nothing like you. You beget him not, nor is you begotten. And there's nothing you created like you. We ask you to forgive us if we said anything that wasn't in accord with your will and the sayings of your prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. And we ask you to guide us, the believers, all over the world and protect us. And we pray that you'll soon bring in your justice all over the world and destroy all of this unjust systems of government and religion that all over the world misleading people and destroying the masses of your people you created. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. You haven't listened to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabbat. Join us again next Sunday, same time.